Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's sure good to see all of you here today. By God's grace, we are here, and He has blessed us throughout the week that we have had. We are gathered here this morning to give unto our God our praise, honoring Him, glorifying Him, and definitely something that will be of value to us as we begin our week. Out here in the world, there's a moment by which you just hope that you get some moment of refreshing that will allow you to go speak to someone about Jesus, but also not only that, to live before someone the life of Jesus. And that is our responsibility in this world. I would like for you to turn with me to Psalm chapter 119, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thy commandments make me wiser than enemies, for they are ever before me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have kept thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I may observe thy word. I have not turned aside from thine ordinances, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Diane and I have been very intrigued by Hallmark movies. That becomes to be one of our favorite parts of entertainment, I guess you'd say, for what we see. The most interesting thing about Hallmark movies is not only the storyline of the movies that you see, but it's the commercials that you see. And when you see these commercials, it's all about Hallmark, and there's some particular moment that is very intriguing. But the one that's always impressed me was this elderly man who could not read. And he goes to a class where he sits down with a teacher or several teachers and learns how to read. And he takes this little book, an elementary reader, and starts reading it for the first time. He starts learning these words. And then he graduates from that into this scene that you see where he's reading the newspaper. And then he starts reading this big, thick book. By the time he gets through reading this big, thick book, the teacher says to him, "Then you're done. You're complete with your reading." Then he goes home. And as the scene shows him in his apartment building, he reaches up in the closet and pulls out a box with cards in it. And then he pulls out this card, and this is what it says. He reads it. "Papa means love. I know this is true. I know it because my papa is you. Happy Father's Day, Papa. Love, Jenny." And that just pulls at your heart to go out and buy Hallmark cards. That's what that really does. And for all of you that are looking forward to Father's Day, I'm not pitching for Hallmark, but maybe that kind of moves you to the point that you get ready for Father's Day. But how sad it would be to know that you receive a letter from someone and you can't read it. Somebody that you love and you can't read a word of it. That would be so disappointing. And we would say, well, illiteracy is definitely something that is a problem in this world, and there are a lot of people that can't read. But what would it be like, though, that if you took this book here, and it's a book that a lot of people can read it, they have no problem reading it. It's just that they just take it and almost kind of cast it aside and just dismiss everything that's in it. And it's a book of the love of God that He delivers to you, a means of redemption, bring about the salvation of man. When you think about this idea of literacy, probably biblical illiteracy is probably the worst illiteracy in the world. Statements made by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 1, verse 3, My people don't even consider because they don't even know. That's all because they don't listen to what Scripture has told them, the commands, the statutes. Then Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13, talking about how it is that people are without knowledge, talking about his own people. They don't know. And they're led off into captivity. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, in essence, says the same thing. My people are destroyed because of the lack of knowledge. And then Amos chapter 8, verse 11, that's where the prophet says about God, he's going to send them a famine of the word. A famine of the word. There are moments in the lives of people where the scripture is just kind of taken away. It's kind of like the case in the prodigal son, the parable of the sower, that when the seed is sown, I'm on this wayside and all the birds come and pick it out, pick the seed away. Doesn't have a chance. There's a lot of curious people that look into this book and say, I wonder if it's got anything in here about this. I wonder if it's got anything here about this subject. And that's one of the most interesting things that you see when it comes down to the idea of Scripture, and that is, why is it that this is such, not only the best-selling book, but people are illiterate about it? And these three things that I mentioned on the screen are not the only three things, but one of them has to do with the fact they just complain about its relevancy. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, as a subject that they've got in their mind, I wonder if the Bible says anything about this. There's a lot of self-help books on this subject, but I wonder if the Bible says anything about that. And then when they don't find it there, they just kind of discard it because it doesn't address the problem that they're having. It does talk about what the prophet said. There's mentions of what the apostles were teaching. But if you go through a Bible book like Ezekiel, for the people that don't know the scripture, they just go through that and they say, well, this just really, I don't see anything about that that's relevant to me. Now let's talk about dating or stress or financial success or financial pressure, anxiety or depression. Those are things that are relevant to me, and a lot of people are dealing with it, including myself, and I just wish I had all the answers. There are a lot of subjects of which people are concerned about today that really are principles, guidelines, spiritual instructions that give you a very clear understanding about how this is addressed in your life. So if there's a subject that you're really concerned about that you don't know that the Bible teaches or you haven't seen it yet, it may not say the word, but there are some things about people that are addressed in Scripture that delivers to you guidelines of how you can deal with the very same thing. Then the second one, it's hard to understand. Yeah? But why is it hard to understand? Maybe because we don't even take a chance to read it. There's a case, again, with the parables that Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 13. Why is it that people, beginning of verse 13, as he's addressing the people, why is it that they can't understand? Well, their eyes are closed to it. Their ears, they can't hear. And their hearts, something's clogging up. They're hard from understanding and receiving this. That's why they can't receive these parables. Yet, when you look in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, Paul was talking about how it is that when you read, you can perceive my understanding in the mystery of Christ. Chapter 5, the same book, verse 17, wherefore when you read it, you can understand it. You should be the one that can understand what the will of the Lord is. But maybe it's because you don't read it. Maybe that's why you don't understand it. But then there's this third one. The rumors are, or I should say the murmuring that goes on about all the errors that are there. Let me let you think about something. In James chapter 1, there's a statement that is made in James 1 about the scripture, and this is what it says in verse 25. He that looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continues being not a hearer that forgets, but a doer that works, this man shall be blessed in his doing. And the reference that he makes is regarding looking into a mirror that he addresses up earlier in verse 23. So the mirror is considered to be the scripture that you hear, and it's the perfect law, the law of liberty. Now, let me ask you this question. When it comes down to Scripture and a mirror, have you ever looked in the mirror and looked at it, after you looked at it and said, that's not right? There's some error in that mirror. Have you ever looked in the mirror and said, it's flawed? They messed this one up. They didn't produce it right. Mirrors do not show you something fake. It's perfect. All mirrors do are reflects what it sees or what's looking into it. So therefore, the errors really are in you and in me. The Scripture is all perfect. It's all right there for us to see. So therefore, here's what we should consider. If we are talking very seriously about a relationship with God, a relationship with God is only as great as the knowledge of the Word that comes from God. If you're having trouble with your relationship with God, it's a good possibility. It's all because you're not into this book. God's revealed more there. Yes, I know, according to Psalm chapter 19, you can look out in the firmament, see out the outside, everything, and you can see that there's some power behind all that. But then when you look in Scripture, you get to learn more about God's grace and mercy, power, guidance, deliverance, and hope. Therefore, I'd like for you to turn with me to Psalm chapter 119. And immediately, one of some of the things that people look at when they look at Scripture, they look at Scripture and they think about how short a Scripture is versus how long a Scripture is. 176 verses in Psalm 119. If you were to listen to it, it'd take you about 15, 16 minutes to listen to it. We're not going to read all of it. But Psalm chapter 119 is not just one of these books you say, well, that's the longest chapter in the Bible. And definitely it is. Psalm chapter 119 is Scripture about Scripture. And through what it describes in this message, in this chapter, and in this book, are some very vital things that show you just how valuable God's Word is. And how wise it is. And every particular verse that you see in this chapter, except for two, has something to do with either word or testimony or statutes or law or commandments. Those words that refer to the law are written in every verse of this chapter except two. And it's not just because it's just telling you about the priorities of which you should have throughout Scripture or the power in it and its blessings in it. But there's a lot more to it that maybe we should think about. So therefore, let's think about, first of all, verse 1 and 2. Blessed are they that are perfect in the way, who walk in the law of Jehovah. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. That's the theme of the whole chapter. And really, that's the theme of the whole Bible. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Mark was talking about it in our Bible class this morning, about references to Deuteronomy chapter 29 and 30, telling the people of Israel that there's blessings in associated with keeping the law versus that which when you forsake it, you're going to be cursed. And everybody would like to see the positive in relationship to the Scripture. So therefore, this is where you see that expressed very clearly. But go a little bit further. Verse 9. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By heeding thereunto according to thy word. With a whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Some of you may have or may have heard, written in your Bible in the front page of it, or maybe you've heard the statement, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. That's exactly what verse 11 is all about. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The knowledge of Scripture helps you understand how you can be protected from the temptations that lead you into this sin. Go further. Psalm 119 verse, you will see that it's in this text a design for young people. Sometimes we think the idea of Scripture is just for certain age relative people. Older people. Maybe women. This is about young people. How they can be the ones who with the knowledge of Scripture can protect themselves from every evil way. And I want to tell you something. Some of the greatest young people I know are the people that know the Bible. And they practice what the Bible teaches. But when you go further in Scripture and you look at Psalm 119, then you've got this one in verse 24. Thy testimonies are also my delight and my counselors. There are a lot of people in this world that need a lot of counsel in a lot of ways. The demand for counselors is increasing with just about every generation. But how many people have yet to look into Scripture and see that the testimonies of God are delighted in because they are counseling? The joy that comes as a result of listening to Scripture. Go further. In verse 104, you will notice how that this is what gives you an understanding of what's true versus what's false. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Chapter 119, verse 130, the opening of thy words give light and give understanding to the simple. The pathways, it's just lit up with everything. It's giving you every sense of direction that you need, the wisdom to guide you in the decision that you make. It gives you every moment of which you know exactly which road to go on when you get to the why, whether left or right. You know exactly where to go based on what the Scriptures teach. You've got it all right there in front of you. But then you go further and you read in Scripture where it says in verse 28 these words. My soul melts for heaviness. Strengthen now me according to thy word. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me. Verse 52. I remember thy ordinances of old, O Jehovah, and have comforted myself. Verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delight, I should have then have perished in my affliction. I want to go back to, look at verse 67 and 71. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I observe thy word. It is good for me, in verse 71, that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. How many times has it been that in the moment of a suffering, in the moment of grief, in the moment of affliction, in the moment of when you found yourself at your lowest point, that when you found some scripture, that came to be for you a sense of guidance, a sense of hope, a sense of comfort, a sense of going on, picking up and going, strengthening the reader. There's a lot of self-help books out there that will give you understanding. And a lot of people will say, all I need to do is just pick myself up. And the Scriptures really, in essence, say, read me, and I'll tell you what to do about yourself. So powerful if we just let this strengthen us. But then we go further. Verse 98. Thy commandments make me wiser than my enemies, and they are forever with me. Wiser than your enemies. How often has it been that you try to figure out how am I going to deal with these people that are hard to get along with? How am I going to deal with the people that oppose me? What am I going to do in this situation where there's people that hate me? What is the answer? Where is my resolve? What will guide me? Scripture does. The commandments make me wiser than enemies. It's not to say you're going to shine yourself better than they are. You're going to show off yourself. It's going to make you and your decisions much wiser than they are in their decisions and what they do. It definitely will show who the fool versus who the wise person is. And then you look in Scripture in verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield, I hope in thy word. Similar words to what you would find when it talks about the armor of God in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. That is prescriptive for us in verse 15, 16, and 17. God's word. That defense. God's word is even this place where you go hide in it and you read from it and you refresh from it to gain the energy to go out and defend the truth. And you pray right along with what you read. Do you get that? Pray right along with what you read. And in that hiding place, you have the shield. And as a result, there's hope in the Word. I don't know how many of you, Daniel mentioned it earlier, just before he started leading the singing, about some of the difficulties that you may be facing when you enter into the building. And we don't know what all that may be. But could it be that if you read Scripture and understood clearly what it is that God would want you to do in the midst of a world that seems hopeless, that you could gain hope in the midst of it? Sure, absolutely. And then we're verse 165, close to the end of the chapter. Great peace have they that love thy law, and they have no occasion of stumbling. Great peace. A person that obeys the Scripture, once he or she has read it, definitely come away with greater peace from it. Handling conflicts between a parent and a child in Scripture. A marriage conflict resolution is in Scripture. Peace with other people, of which there may be division, Scripture has a resolution to all of that. And it's not just peace, this is greater peace. Might even compare it to what you find in the book of Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7, peace that passes understanding. All but what you see in Scripture. All right there within the Word of God, this great peace that resolves a lot of disputes. In the midst of all this, I think there's something that we need to see. There's two, well, I should say maybe three very much repeated things in Psalm 119 that all of us need to understand. The one word is the word teach. And the word teach is mentioned several times, so let's look at these. Let's look at all these very quickly. Chapter 119, verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Jehovah, teach me thy statutes. Verse 26, I declare my ways, thou answerest me, teach me thy statutes. Verse 27, make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I meditate on thy wondrous works. Verse 33, teach me, O Jehovah, the way of thy statutes, I shall keep unto the end. Verse 36, incline my heart in thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Whoa, what a contrast that is. And then in verse 64. The earth, O Jehovah, is full of thy loving kindness. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believed in thy commandments. Verse 68, thou art good and thou dost good. Teach me thy statutes. Verse 73, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Verse 124, deal with thy servant according to thy loving kindness and teach me thy statutes. Verse 135, make thy face to shine upon thy servant, teach me thy statutes. Verse 171, let my lips utter praise, for thou teachest me thy statutes. The phrase, teach me thy statutes, is found in almost every one of those. Give me understanding, found in other verses. But then he points how that's so valuable to him. It's not, okay, I'm coming into Scripture, I'm going to prove a point. Like I'm the authority here. I'm the authority here. No, the Scripture is the authority. You come into it to say, I need help. I need guidance. I want something. I need to be taught. Because I'm the one that needs to be wise. And I'm not wise already to come over here and get a point. I just need the Holy Spirit. I just need your word. I want to follow your paths. I need help. I don't know what to do right now, and I need guidance. I'm not coming to God as the authority, I'm coming to God's word as the learner. So teach me. In other words, it's saying, I am teachable. Teach me, teach me, teach me. I am teachable. But then there's the other part of that. It's the commitment part. Besides being the one that's going to be teachable, I'm going to have to be the one that needs to be obedient. The commitment to the Lord. And that is fully seen all through this particular chapter. Thou hast commanded us thy precepts that we should observe them diligently. Oh, that my ways were established, in verse 5, to observe thy statutes. Verse 34, give me understanding and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I will observe it with my whole heart. Verse 44, so shall I observe thy law continually forever and ever. Verse 55, I remember thy name, O Jehovah, in the night I observe thy law. This I have had because I have kept thy precepts. Verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to observe thy commandments. Verse 106, I have sworn and have confirmed it that I will observe thy righteous ordinances. It's not only that you're going to be teachable, but when you get this information that you need that's teaching you this, then now's a commitment to it to obey it. That is so valuable that I'm going to be the teachable person and listen to Scripture, and it's going to convict me, and I'm going to follow it. And I'm not going to come back and say, I don't think that's for me. I'm not going to come along and say, I think somebody else needs that more than I need it. And I'm not going to treat the Bible like a cafeteria line. I'm going to come back and pick out all the verses that I think really suit me best. And leave out all the rest of them that may convict me and want me to feel guilty and cause me to repent. Here's something else that I think, as I mentioned to you earlier about the Word being the mirror, the Bible is reflecting who we are and who we should be. The Bible does that. It may tell you that you're guilty, but it also will approve of you as well. Here's one thing that you will see in the book of Psalm 119. You remember I mentioned earlier that the words statutes, testimonies, commandments, law, word, covenant, all those words are mentioned in Scripture, but these words right here are mentioned more than any of those others. The most common word that you will see in Psalm 119 is either I, or me, or mine, or thou, or thine. So it's pointing to me. What I will learn, what I should be doing, my observation, what I'm being taught that comes from thou and comes from thy, that needs to be emphasized and understood very clearly. And as a result of this, when you go to Psalm 119 and you listen to verse 97, as a result of getting into the Word, then verse 97 comes, oh, how love I thy law is my meditation all the day. I speak it. I live it, I wear it, I'm committed to it. It will be always helpful to me. I would challenge every one of you, as I've challenged myself, that when you read Psalm 119, you gather small bits of information about what value the Scripture is to you. And it becomes to be like verse 97 says, my meditation all the day, every day. Here's something I want you to think about related to this. The Bible has such power in it, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, that it wants to open up and investigate, lay everything out there in front of you. It's not a hidden document. It is very open, as we would say, transparent, and showing you and I who we are. In the case with the eunuch in the book of Acts chapter 8, and he was reading Scripture from the book of Isaiah. And in reading Scripture from the book of Isaiah, he finds out that there's this man who he needs more information regarding this person. And when Philip comes along, and then he begins to introduce to him Jesus. When he wants to be taught, then the moment of which there's a conviction of doing something, will he do it? He wants to be taught because he's already reading. Yet when he hears about this man, will he follow this man of whom he's reading? Jesus Christ. And you know he does, because he says, here's water. Water's hindering me from being baptized. He doesn't make excuses, doesn't apologize for the fact that he's not really, doesn't have a lot of knowledge yet, and he needs more time to figure all this out. He's got a lot of changes that need to be made in his life. Doesn't discuss any of this. He just knows, he is taught, he learns more than he obeys. And he goes on his way rejoicing. For the person that has been definitely impacted by the power of Scripture, and they've heard it from a lot of different people, but more so they read it themselves, do not be the one that thinks you've got to learn everything before you become a child of God. Just like the eunuch. You hear it. If you want to be taught, then when you know the Scriptures and that truth, you will obey. And you will go on your way away from this building in joy. For all of us that are Christians already, our continued meditation should be on that Scripture. This is what the family at the Veterans Parkway Church of Christ abides in. The Scripture. We teach it. We believe it. We practice it. And we hope to continue to do the very same thing in the future. Let us all bow together in prayer. God, we are blessed so much by the opportunity of this day. We are blessed because we have the opportunity to come together to worship Thee. We ask, Father, for Your forgiveness, wherein we have failed to be the teachable person to obey Your Word. And we've just let Your Word slide through our fingers and go in our ears, but never meditating upon it to obey it. Forgive us. May You help us to feed upon it. May You let this Word be that which keeps us from sin. May You let this Word be that which helps us in our affliction. May You allow this Word to help us in the midst of enemies. May You let this Word be that which helps us to be people who are ones of strength. People who deal with the world. Let us meditate upon it more. Let this Word get in us. That way we can come to the world better prepared to answer questions, to live the life, and do what's right. For those that are here today who have heard this Scripture and they now feel understanding in their heart the guilt of their sin, may they be willing to repent, change their way, as an unbeliever to be confessing in Jesus the Christ, to be baptized, to rise up in newness of life. For those that are here that already are Christians, let us all continue to remain steadfast in this Word. Let it get into us by us getting into it. God, we're grateful for Your power, Your might, Your wisdom, Your direction, Your guidance, Your mercy, Your grace. It all comes through the pages of Your will. Let us find ourselves molded into that will. Guide us, Father, in Your truth always. For we know it's in that truth of which we will be judged. And it is in that truth You will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Help us, O God, to be the ones who will be disciples. Learn more and more every day. And be prepared to do more every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand and sing.